comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And good Wednesday to you on this side of the planet, and good Thursday morning to you on the other side of the planet. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm glad you're here. It's talk radio like nowhere else on earth, the show where you matter. If you are not subscribed to our newsletter, be sure you do that. Go over to the website, kevinsmithshow.com. And you'll see a link that says K-Files. Just click on that link, and within a few seconds you can subscribe. And there's really no reason not to, because it is free, and there are no strings attached, and you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. Something really significant took place today. It was an announcement from U.S. NORTHCOM. U.S. NORTHCOM is the U.S. Northern Command. And the U.S. Northern Command was staffed with military people. Actually, you know, instead of just being on an organization chart, it was actually staffed. In the last Bush administration. And they have today admitted that they're preparing military operations within the United States. This is the first time in history that this has been done, and they will be working with Department of Homeland Security, state and local law enforcement here on U.S. soil. It is a drill. It's going to be in the Gulf area, but what's really significant about this is that this is the first time that any Air Force unit has been wartime validated in support of the defense and security of the United States of America at home. And that is momentous. Some people think that's going to be a really good thing, and some people think it is not. They are going to be doing a drill down in the Gulf area, and according to their spokesman, this is a quote, "The survival of thousands of Americans rests on this training." I'm not really sure what to think about that, but other than to say it's a reality. Now, anybody that thinks that the U.S. military cannot operate in the United States because of a law we have called Posse Comitatus, you're a little bit behind on history. That was canceled during the last Bush administration. Posse Comitatus is dead, and they can operate and do security and policing on American soil in the United States of America. So anyway, I thought that was important, and though it's not actually in our genre, I thought it was important enough for us to bring it up. By the way, did you know that FEMA has recruited and trained clergy for the purpose of telling you that in the event of martial law, it's God's will that you not resist? That's fact. We'll be back with Jerry Will right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is someone who is not a stranger to you. If you're a regular listener here at the Kevin Smith Show, you know Jerry Wills, and we're delighted to have him back with us this evening. Jerry, thank you for being here.
Hi, Kevin. Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me back. It's good to be back.
Jerry, we have titled tonight's show because, you know, you and I talked about several things that we wanted to talk about here tonight. If you just collect them all together in one basket, we titled the show Surviving 2010. And with that in mind, I'd like to sort of just jump off right here at the beginning talking about what's on everybody's mind, and that's this infernal oil spill, oil gusher in the Gulf of Mexico. And, you know, this is, I have said, and I stand by this, that if they don't get this under control and get it under control faster, it's already too late to be fast. But if they don't, get something significant done here really soon, this could be an extinction level event.
Well, I think at some level it's already an extinction-level event. What we're seeing on the surface is nothing compared to what's going on beneath the surface. And really, if you've ever scuba-dived, gone underwater, or even snorkeled, what you see are just tens of thousands of fish and other types of marine life. And, of course, all along the bottom of the floor of the ocean, from the very, you know, right at the very bottom all the way to the surface, that is one huge living organism. And this that's happening is truly unbelievable. I mean, that it would have happened for a day would have been catastrophic. But at 51 days, it's just beyond the range of comprehension, the type of damage that is going to take place that will not be fixed during our lifetimes or many lifetimes ahead of our own.
Well, I agree. And what folks are seeing right now on, if they're watching on our TV channel, they're seeing a video clip of this oil gusher on the bottom of the Gulf. And, you know, it's pretty interesting about this, two things about this. First of all, this gusher that they're viewing, I mean, it doesn't look like anything has been done. It doesn't look like, I mean, we can see that there's some apparatus around it that was not there. But the oil is just gushing out of there. And, it doesn't appear that it has been stopped or slowed down. It doesn't appear that it's been effective at all. Now, they're telling us that it is somewhat effective and that they're getting like 10,000 barrels a day or 10,000 gallons a day, something like that, of crude oil, and that's not going into the ocean. And okay, if they are, that's good. That's a step in the right direction. But what we're seeing is from 3 days ago. This is after they put the cap on. 3 days ago, it's still just gushing oil into the ocean. The other thing that's interesting about this is the only place where I could find this video was, I found it on YouTube, but it was provided by a news service outside of the USA. There was no really recent video from news service in the USA.
Yeah, and I think that the whole story is not being told, Kevin, as far as what's going on under there and what's really happening. You know, I mean, think about it for a second. We don't really have a scale when we're looking at this video. We don't know how big that pipe really is. All we see is the pipe, and we're thinking it's probably a 3-inch pipe. maybe a 6-inch pipe. But this pipe is actually much larger than that, much, much larger. I have no idea how big it is. But when you figure that, the last I heard on CNN just a little earlier today was that there was somewhere between 700,000 and 1.2 million barrels of oil per day, I'm sorry, gallons of oil per day that were being exhausted out of this hole. That's a lot of oil. You know, if you were to pull your car on the beach and empty your oil pan, you can imagine what kind of a terrible mess that would make and how toxic and disastrous it would be. They'd have the hazmat team there and you'd be arrested. These guys are doing 1.2 million, perhaps, barrels of oil, again, I'm sorry, gallons of oil per day flowing into this ocean, and that's every day. It's just extraordinary. But, you know, there's an interesting aspect to this. If you can find anything interesting about it at all and not totally be bummed out by the whole event, the interesting aspect is that this is right in alignment, or so it seems, to the Hopi prophecies, prophecy number 7. Are you familiar with that?
I am, but why don't you bring our audience up to speed on Hopi prophecy number 7?
Sure. What I'll do, excuse me, got an oil slick in my throat today. Prophecy number 7, it says basically, you will hear of the sea turning black and many living things dying because of it.
Well, that does sound like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I have friends up on the Hopi Reservation. One of these fellows is Emery Holmes, and another one is his father-in-law, Martin, who now is, you know, of course, known as Grandfather Martin, but at the time, he was just Martin to me. Anyway, we were talking about Hopi prophecies back in the mid-90s, and during the course of the conversation, we were going over each one and I was trying to get a clear idea on what this was really saying. When we got on to the seventh sign, I couldn't quite get my mind around what this was saying. How in the world could the sea turn black and living things in the ocean dying because it turned black? And Martin came in. He wasn't there at the beginning of that conversation. He showed up a little ways into it, was listening to my question, and he said, well, that's oil. And I said, well, How is oil, I mean, like a tanker or something? And he said, no, the earth will spew the oil from inside of it, and it will turn the sea black, and then, you know, things will die. Well, he had a clue all the way back in the 90s that that's what this prophecy meant. I didn't really have the frame of reference. You know, I never really thought about, you know, drilling down in the Gulf of Mexico and so forth. And it wasn't until a few years ago when I was actually in the Gulf and I saw these gigantic platforms out there on the horizon that I started feeling a little worried that maybe he was right. Now, of course, it's pretty obvious. You know, it's always easier to go back once something's happened and then match prophecy up with it. That's what they say a lot of times about Nostradamus. In this particular event, Grandfather Martin nailed it pretty succinctly back in the early 90s, which, of course, you know, what would that have been? 10, almost 15 years ago. At least 15 years ago.
Well, one of the reasons that it's so difficult for a lot of people to take a prophecy and see clearly what it's talking about before the event is because we approach the future with presumptions based on the past.
Sure.
And, you know, the future is not going to be like the past. Not for a while. things are happening and things are going to happen that have never happened in our past. Maybe in some distant past, way before our species of humans inhabited the planet, maybe. But in our history, it has never happened. And so, you know, we're approaching the future with presumptions based on the past, but the future is bringing to us things that have never happened in our past. And so it's going to be really very, very interesting. I think it was an AP reporter that went diving in the Gulf today, and on YouTube you can see video of what he saw under the water, and it's quite interesting. But this oil plume now extends 142 miles all the way over to Florida, and if it has not hit Miami yet, it will. That's what the predictions are, and that it will hit Miami, and that's going to begin happening very soon if it hasn't already. But Jerry, let's talk for a minute about the news reporting. This video that everyone on our, if you're a member of our Kevin Smith Show members area, you can watch the show live. And what you're seeing is a video that is from Russia Today. Now, I looked all over the web, not just at YouTube, but I couldn't find any video of what's going on there on the Gulf floor. I couldn't find any video that was more recent than this. This is the most recent video that I found, and it's from outside the USA. Why do you think we're not being shown and not being told the full story here?
Well, I think the reason is because it's much worse than the people in charge are wanting us to know it is. You know, there's no talk about a lot of the aspects of this that really need some mention, but I believe they're trying to be, they're trying to keep this so that it doesn't get the population at large frantic and full of fear and, you know.
It's too late for that.
Crazy. Well, I agree. I think it is, too. But some of the details about this that haven't been released, hasn't been addressed. The information has been released, but it's hit a very small audience because it's not coming from specifically large news organizations. It's coming from scientists and people in the field who are making their additions to what's known, but it's hitting a small audience and being passed around on the internet. I've gotten a few of these, and I've researched them, and, you know, to the dismay of the earth, these guys seem to know what they're talking about. One of the ones that really struck me is that this is going to it's going to introduce benzene into not just the atmosphere but also into the aquifers. There is no amount of benzene that's safe. It's already been figured out a long time ago that benzene, any amount of benzene, is completely dangerous. Benzene, of course, is made from crude oil. It's a component constituent of the crude oil, and it has the capacity to vaporize or to just remain in water and just be, you know, thinned out, and just go wherever, just willy-nilly. Now, if you take a look at what the weather patterns are from the Gulf, what you'll see is that always those storms will be moving northeastward. So it's going to encompass the entire Appalachian range, areas of Georgia, Alabama, up to the Carolinas, the Virginias, all the way up the East Coast. Most of the weather pattern that happens moves in that northeasterly direction. I know that real well because we decided to go try living in Raleigh, North Carolina for a few months, and it was always raining, and we wondered why we never took the time to look at the weather patterns before we went there. If it's not northeast, it's going to head directly east and go across Florida. You know, there are some serious consequences for the contaminants that are in the oil that will be pulled into the atmosphere and dropped out over land.
Well, not just what's in the oil naturally, but the dispersant that has been sprayed in heavy quantities to try and break up this oil spill is highly toxic. And, you know, it's just unbelievable to me that they would say, okay, go ahead and spray it. We already know what the oil is going to do. We already know that. Right. All right, so now we're going to add something that's highly toxic to it and make it even more dangerous? You know, that was a bonehead decision, and I don't know who made it, but whoever made that decision, in a very real sense, potentially, has the lives of thousands of people on their hands.
Well, I know who made that decision. I've, of course, read it. I don't know it firsthand, but like a lot of folks, I've been reading up on this. And the government, the U.S. government said, no, we don't think that's such a good idea. And BP says, yes, it is, and we're going to do it. And BP went ahead and did it, and then the government acquiesced.
Well, I guess that shows us who's in charge, huh?
Well, yeah, of course. You know, it always has been big oil. That's the...
Nobody ever needs to say again that the President of the United States is the most powerful man on Earth, because we now know it's the President of BP.
Yeah, because he basically told the U.S. what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's something that's under damage control with the White House. I don't think that they wanted that to remain as a state of circumstance.
All right, we have to step away for break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back. We're talking with Jerry Wills, and we're talking about surviving 2010. So, Jerry, we could go on and on about this oil spill, but what do you think we can do to survive this?
Well, I think that's really the big question. And really, the best way to survive this is to take a look around at what's going on and become more and more aware. Surviving it may not mean the same thing to someone living in Oregon or Canada as compared to, say, Louisiana or Florida. There are different...
Well, it won't mean the same thing, and the impact won't feel the same, but everyone will feel it because one of the major players in our economy is the seafood industry. And that is one of the most productive areas for seafood, and that is going to have a major economic impact on everybody in the United States of America, especially when, as I suspect they will, BP, maybe they won't, but I suspect they're going to balk at paying all the claims that are going to be filed, and... they're going to string this out for year upon year upon year upon year in court. And what that will mean is that everyone who's already been hit to bail out car companies, been hit to bail out banksters, been hit to bail out Wall Street, will now be hit to bail out the coast again.
Yeah, exactly right. So what I've been thinking about, the best way to prepare on how to survive this is to become proactive now. I think most people who are looking at this, myself included, are watching it on TV. We're putting our hand to the side of our face and going, holy mackerel, look at that. Can you believe what's happening? But none of us are doing anything proactive. Something that happened down there that I heard about from, I think his name is Jim Fox. He's a documentary producer.
Mm-hmm. James Fox, right? Yep.
Yep. He was down there and discovered that the people were just living in fear because of the presence of all the military and the BP people and FEMA and who knows who else, that they couldn't even take photos of it. They couldn't get around there with the camera. The people were being harassed who have video cameras. Now, I don't know if this has any truth to it or not. I don't have personal or first-hand experience, but I'm just repeating what I heard from Mr. Fox, that he was pretty afraid that he was going to be arrested because people that are trying to take videos who aren't authorized are being arrested or being hassled. And that the story down there is much more dire than what's being portrayed. That's his words. So I'm thinking that if you're going to survive this, the best thing to do is to say, you know what, it begins with me, and make a decision to do something about it. Now, of course, people are boycotting BP, but that only has a limited effect on, you know, annoying the company. They made billions of dollars last year, so that's...
Well, they've made tons of money off of this.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is nothing to do with BP. It's the animals and the earth that we have to care about. And I just wonder what would happen if a million people or 2 million people decided we've got to go down there and fix this and clean it up because no one else is doing it. You know, to survive.
And I'll tell you something else. I wonder what would be the response if the million or 2 million show up and they all turn towards the Gulf, pull out a camera, and snap pictures.
Yeah, exactly. But you see, there's a much larger thing here about surviving than just going down there to clean it up to try and make a difference to the one animal that you might be able to save. And if you have a million people, multiply that times a million, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that's missing in all of this equation is the most important part of surviving 2010, and that is, first of all, realizing that this is the time for people to become active, to not be bystanders, to not be observers, but it's time to actually pick up the shovel, pick up the rag, to do something proactive to make a difference. The second thing, which is going to make a difference, I think, and these experiments have shown that these events do make differences, is for those people to also have an idea that if they just start projecting their will towards what needs to be done, that they can make a change. You know, I've said for a long time, if one person can take and bend a spoon, and I've seen this done, it's just incredible. I met Safwat El Amin, Dr. El Amin in New York on my last trip there. He had a quarter, put it in his hand, stared at it, and the quarter folded up like a taco. It was unbelievable. If one person can do that, what could 100,000 people do who focused in the same direction? Surviving 2010, means becoming more aware and embracing your God-given right to use your ability and to focus that ability in a direction to make a change, whatever that change is determined to be. Now, of course, it can be used for good or for evil, but I think that the people that would show up to try and save the ocean, to save the earth, if they focus their ability And it's not presuming that every one of them could bend a spoon. It's just presuming that they had it within themselves to try, that there would be changes that would take place.
I wonder what would happen if we had the whole Kevin Smith Show audience all at one time project thoughts of stopping the oil leak and healing the damage that's already been done.
Well, most people, I think it would work, Kevin, but most people can't get their mind around what the damage is, and that's why I think it's important to really have a good visual on it. Seeing a bird sitting in a puddle of oil completely smothered by it is a microcosm of what's happening. You've got miles of wetlands that there are hundreds of birds, and they're all doing the same thing. They're dying. And you've got everything from the surface of the water down that's being poisoned that's also dying, whether it's whales, dolphins, a bunch of fish, crazy little crustaceans clicking their claws. You know, you've got all of these things that are just dying. It is important, I think, in order to really harness that power that each person has, to have a much broader scope on what's happening, because you can't focus on one thing and affect a very large thing. If everyone is focusing on the image of that one bird might survive. But if everyone sees it and focuses on the larger panorama, that's where the difference could take place.
In 2010, there is we have no shortage of things that are attacking peace of mind, tranquility on the planet, and the health of the planet. One of the things, Jerry, that is pretty troublesome to me is John McCain. Now, the reason I say that, and this is not a political speech here, but he is a sponsor of a bill that will essentially make it where you can't go to the health food store and buy your supplements. And that's what's going to happen whenever you can't go to the health food store and buy your supplements.
Yeah, well, exactly what will happen.
Well,
eating industrialized food.
That's right. And we see how well the government is managing the oil spill. How well are they going to manage your health? Probably no better than that oil spill. And, you know, you know me, Jerry. I don't take chemicals. I don't, you know, about the strongest thing that I ever take that is a pharmaceutical is an aspirin. And I do take an aspirin once in a while. But, you know, I don't take medicine. I had my eyes operated on one time. I was not in the hospital for it. It was outpatient surgery. But they were definitely cutting on my eyeball, and I did it without painkillers. And because I don't like to take those things. But
yeah,
there are,
I understand.
Well, there are a host of supplements that I take. And, you know, that's soon, if this becomes law, that's going to be illegal to sell them to me. And it'll be illegal for me to possess them, I guess.
Without a prescription, they have to be state sanctioned.
Mm-hmm. State sanctioned.
Like marriage.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I know, that's a weird twist to throw in there, but it's true. There's a lot of stuff. The underwear you're wearing, the shirt you're wearing, the light bulb in your lamp, everything around you is basically checked out by the government and said, okay, you can use it. Supplements will be the same way if this passes.
Well, part of I think it's part of the same bill, but it may be a different bill. But there is legislation proposed that would make it illegal to do any organic farming.
Yeah, I've read that too.
And of course, you know, that would make Michelle Obama a violator of the law, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose so.
You have to have, if that law passes, you've got to have a permit from the government to have a garden, and it cannot be an organic garden.
Yeah, and how bizarre is that?
Well, it's not really any more bizarre than Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Sometimes I have to stop and wonder if, you know, the bad aliens haven't already landed and infiltrated everything, and this is just their way of thinning the herd.
Well, it certainly would seem like it. So what are we going to do? How are we going to survive the onslaught against health supplements?
Well, the one way is kind of connected to the last thing we were talking about, and that is becoming proactive. If enough people say, no, this isn't going to work, and demand differently, then it changes. But people have a tendency...
That didn't work with health care.
Well, no, it didn't work with health care.
You know, the majority of America said, yeah, we need health care reform, but not this bill. This one is insane. And Congress said, well, you're going to take it, you're going to like it, and by the way, you're going to pay for it. All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Jerry Wills this evening, and we're talking about surviving 2010. There are so many things coming at us so fast that we're living the reality of Alvin Toffler's 1970 bestseller, Future Shock. And we were talking about these health supplements. But Jerry, let me move us ahead to another topic. Earthquakes and volcanoes, earth tremors, either through earthquakes or through the volcanoes. We keep being told that we're not seeing an increased number of earthquakes and we're not seeing an increased number of volcanoes, and yet everyone you talk to all over the world says, yeah, we are, except for these scientists putting out official reports.
Sure. And I think the reason for that is just like everything else. No need for alarm. There's nothing we can do about it anyway, so remain calm and strap and attach that seat belt and get ready for takeoff. The fact is that the Earth is an evolving thing, and there have always been earthquakes and all this, but what we're seeing now as we approach 2012, it seems to be an increase. There are things that are happening that we've never seen happen before, that there is nothing that can be done about it. And, you know, how do you prepare for something like that? You don't know where it's going to strike next.
It is true that there's, as far as I know, there's no place you can go on Earth where you would be safe from earthquakes. I think there are places you can go where you would be safe from volcanoes, but earthquakes can happen anywhere and seem to happen just about everywhere. But there's no place you can go hide from earthquakes. Now, that being the case, there are a lot of people that are really into survival mode. And I will use the term survivalism, but I'm using that in its best sense. The lamestream media tries to kind of paint survivalists as if they're some kind of kooks. They're not. Among them, there are probably a few squirrels. But the group, as a group, survivalists come from every walk of life. But that's one thing that a lot of people are doing. They're storing food. Some are moving to certain parts of the country to get away from what they think will be a danger zone. What do you think about all that? Is that how we ought to prepare for surviving 2010?
Well, I think that's a good place to start. You know, you take a look, for example, here in Phoenix. We saw a couple years ago, maybe it was 4 years ago, I don't remember exactly, but what we saw here was that the supply of gasoline was interrupted, and as a result, people were stranded in their cars. Some people died of heat exhaustion. It happened in the dead of summer. And cars were parked everywhere out of gas. Now, I think I remember this being like 2005 or 6, but I don't remember exactly when it was.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, these folks, like people always do, figure that the things that they need are just going to be there. They don't have to worry about it because someone else is taking care of it. If you're going to survive 2010, the very first thing you need to do is become more aware of your surroundings. Become more aware of what your needs are and do something to plan ahead in case there isn't somebody else there to hold your hand. If worst came to worst here in Phoenix and there was no water because there was no electricity, which would mean there's no banking, there's no gasoline, there's no food. Well, how many people would be able to survive in 105 to 115 degree heat in their houses? People would perish.
And that's in a normal summer. You and I both know that we have been through summers where it got up over 120.
Exactly right. I was here and it was approaching 125. I was out riding my motorcycle in it, and it was sweltering.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is, if you take a look backwards to like 1900, 1875, right in there, there were people living here who didn't have anyone supplying their water, food. There wasn't any electricity. There wasn't a need for gas. And, yeah, they were hot, but they were able to survive just fine. You can take a look anywhere in this country back to how the people did it in the 1800s, and you can see very easily that it can be done. The problem is everyone now is depending on someone else. They don't even know who the person is. They don't even know what their name is. They don't even know what company it is or what department it is. But they're placing their lives in the hands of people to be there to make sure that their needs are met. In order to survive, whether it's 2010 or beyond, you need to put your life in your own hands and be ready to dictate what your next move is. If it looks like it's not getting any better, then have an escape plan all figured out. Have an idea of what you're going to do. Survival is really a question of being able to stop and think what the next move should be, but it's also a question of how do you use the resources that you have, or do you have resources of your own that you want to hold on to? Awareness is the key to all of this. People talk about having higher consciousness. That's fine. Consciousness is like a light that shines on a wall. Awareness is your ability to look at that wall and see what's there. It isn't greater consciousness that's going to save you. It is greater awareness.
You know, here, and people that don't live in a desert can mentally sort of attach to this, but they can't really connect to it emotionally, and that is the importance of water. Because if you're out here in the desert and all the electricity goes off, there's no air conditioning, and there's no water, you're going to last maybe a couple of days. Because it gets intense, I mean intensely hot here. And you will dehydrate in this desert, and you'll go into heat exhaustion, heat shock, and death within a couple of days. You've got to have water. How can people who live in a place like this, where there aren't just brooks and springs and creeks and rivers everywhere, how can they find water, do you know?
Well, there are a few places around where you could find water. You'd have to boil it.
Mm-hmm.
There are lakes just north of us. And you could make it to one of the lakes. And there are parks where there are small lakes. They're actually, I'd call it a pond, being from Kentucky. But they're large. There's water in those. But you're going to have to get to a point to where you're willing to drink that nasty water. So you have to know what to do to fix it so you can drink it. Knowledge becomes part of the equation at that point. You know, how many people know how to build a sand filter and then boil water so they can drink it? I don't know. Maybe a lot of people do. But a lot of the folks that I've talked to, when I've asked them this question, they don't really know what they would do.
A lot of people right now listening to the show are saying sand filter. They don't know what that is.
And you know, it's basically you take sand. We do it in the Amazon all the time. We get water out of the river. You take a quantity of sand, and let's say you've got a 25-gallon wash tub, fill it up full of sand, punch a hole in the bottom, suspend it by some ropes, and pour your water in. It comes trickling out. It's not a big hole. It's a very small hole. It comes trickling out the bottom. You collect it in a bucket. You put it over a fire. You boil it for 3 minutes, and then you can drink it. And that's like a good rolling boil.
Mm-hmm.
For 3 minutes, and you can drink it. And chances are very good that you're not going to get sick.
All right, Jerry, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Are you going to survive 2010? I am. I hope you do, too, and I invite you to do so. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Jerry Wills this evening. And before we get back into our discussion and before we open up the telephone lines, I want to make a very quick announcement. On the website, you may have noticed there is a link that says something about Element 115. It's right above the information about tonight's show. Here's the deal. KISS is coming to Phoenix, Arizona. I think it's in September. But they're coming to do a concert, and there is a contest on right now to find a band that's going to open up for KISS. Well, Element 115 is in the running, and you may be aware of them. It's one of my favorite rock bands, and I play their music here on the show sometimes. As a matter of fact, one of the commercial breaks tonight will have their music in it. But the way it works is you just vote for them, okay? I would really appreciate it if you would click that link and vote for Element 115. I really would. This band is a great band. They need this national exposure and break, and I would really appreciate it if you would click that link. It'll be up there for the next few nights, maybe for the next few weeks, but doesn't cost you anything, and you'll be helping a great band with some great people that are real friends of this show and fans of this show, And maybe they will get to open up for KISS. That would be super, wouldn't it? All right, back to our discussion with Jerry Wills, and welcome to all of you who have joined us just now in this second hour. My sincere sympathy for whatever it is that kept you away for the first hour. But Jerry, in no way do I want to give people the impression that I think that something especially dire is just about to happen. That's not it. It's simply that we are seeing one big disaster after another right now, and it could be coming soon to your neighborhood. That's the point. You don't know when, and you don't know what, and you don't know where. No reason to be fearful about it. Just be ready. So what do you say? You think we ought to open up the telephone lines, Jerry?
Let's open the telephone line.
All right. The telephone lines are open. 623-444-5889 is the main number here in the studio. And then you can, if you need to call me toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, you can call me at 888-223-4599. If you're outside the USA and outside of Canada, you can call the main number or send me a flash message. And you do that by going to my website. Scroll down. You'll see the link that says flash message. Click that, and you can send me a message. Those of you who have sent me emails saying that that won't work for you, I would almost bet you $100 you just installed Firefox or you installed a Firefox upgrade. Firefox is demon possessed when it comes to compatibility. We haven't changed anything. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello there, Jerry. Good show tonight, guys. But I'm going to tell you this oil disaster is what many people would like to call a false flag.
How do you know that?
Well, first of all, they let you know that this is exactly what was going to happen on the exact same date. They told you the date. They told you where it was going to happen and how bad it was going to get. They like to tell you these kind of things through the means of fiction, and they told you in other means also. And also, the media is downplaying the severity of what they did down there. According to some reports of people reports that I've ever managed to get out of that place, because people have been gagged down there. They've had gag orders. They've had the police, a veritable police state, them telling people to shut up. They've been arresting reporters down there. And
now, how do you know this?
Because people have been reporting on it. I've been listening to shows, stuff on Blog Talk Radio of people that are actually reporting on trying to get some reports from people down in the Gulf area, on the coast. The people there have been gagged. They've been told to keep quiet about about the severity of this oil spill. And I'm telling you, this thing is what's called the problem reaction solution thing.
Mm-hmm.
They've created the problem. They're judging the reaction now, and now then they're going to offer people the solution to fix it. And of course, it's going to, as usual, it's going to be at the cost of our rights and freedom. And
I don't know. Do you think there are any of those left?
Not really, but the power elite are going to further centralize their power with this. At least if the people go along with what they want, and also. I also look at the reports out of Jacksonville, Florida, about thousands upon thousands of UN vans that were parked in the Jacksonville airport. You have all these preparations that have been made for a huge disaster to hit over the course of the last few years. You got FEMA and all these FEMA lease lands with these thousands upon thousands of coffin liners that reported in every state of the union. They know something is up, and I think they're creating the problems right now. I think the problems that.
So how do we survive it?
How do we survive it? I say be capable of being able to provide for yourself. I think if those that are dependent on the government are going to find themselves in a FEMA camp very shortly, I think, because that's exactly where they're going to go running to get help.
Man, I hope you're wrong.
I hope so too, Kevin. What are your thoughts on that, Jerry?
Well, excuse me. I've been listening to probably some of the same shows you've been listening to, and talking to some of the people that I know that are in the area, and doing my own bit of research, and I'm quite well certain for my own knowledge. I feel pretty certain that everything you're saying has a degree of truth in it. As for the people with the squelch order, you know, to be quiet, not to talk, that's one of the things that I've also heard, that if they start talking, going on camera, that they could be arrested, which is really crazy. People wonder, how could it be that something like this could happen in the United States? But what most people don't understand is that 100 miles from the shore, going in line, inward, from what I've been able to tell from reading and different things I've come in touch with, it's called a constitution-free zone. The Constitution doesn't apply 100 miles from any border. And so therefore, there aren't any rules or regulations such as the Constitution to keep everything honest.
Okay, now let me make sure I understand. You're saying that if we go 100 miles from the coast inward, that 100-mile band is constitution-free?
That's how I understand it.
Yeah. Well, you know, now look, we've got politicians who view the Constitution as an impediment. We had one president that said it's just a GD piece of paper. But I'm not really sure. You know, if you were to ask those people that live in that 100-mile band if they are American citizens and if they have constitutional rights, they would say yes. If a white policeman were to beat, without cause, without justification, beat a person who's not white, either black or brown or Asian, and they caught it on videotape, they would, among other things, charge him with violation of constitutional rights. So I'm not real sure about that 100-mile band.
Well, I'm not saying that I am completely certain of it. But what I am certain of is that I've read the executive order that suggests that that's what the case is, and it was put in place by the same president who said the Constitution was just a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. He said it's just a GD piece of paper.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Back to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, it's John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
Hello, hi, John.
Kevin. Hi, how's it going? This Gulf oil spill story has filled me with a lot of grief, like overwhelming grief, and I'm just going to make this really quick, and I'm going to get off the line. Just listening to Kevin and talking about this, it kind of really makes me kind of feel better, because, you know, those of us who really care and are trying to figure out what the heck's going on, I feel like I'm part of a community. But I'll tell you, this story is just making me grieve like I've never felt before. So I'm just happy I can listen to Kevin's show and people that Kevin has on, and that we can talk as a community. And so I'll just leave it at that, and I'll get off the line.
Okay, John, thanks for the call. Well, I think it's important. You know, this is not, the stuff we're talking about tonight is not necessarily in our genre. It's not paranormal. It's parasanity. It's beyond sanity. It's not necessarily paranormal, but in a way it fits the genre because we're talking about futuristic science. It's going to take some really futuristic science to fix that hole in the bottom of the Gulf. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Tony from Denver.
Hello, Tony.
Hi, Tony. I'd like to say hi to Jerry.
Yeah, how you doing, Tony?
Hi, Jerry. I'm doing great. I would like to say something like the same that would maybe come from John Lear.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, like he talks about the buildings, 9/11 being shot by a space platform,
mm-hmm.
and then not being able to build buildings on the ground, 9/11. I don't know. You've had him on the show. He talked about it before.
Yeah, I've had him. I've also had Dr. Judy Wood. And Dr. Judy Wood, who is an expert in materials engineering, and being able to look at failed building materials and determine why they failed, she's an expert at that. And she says that those buildings were vaporized with some type of Tesla technology.
Do you think there might be a possibility? I don't have any proof or anything, but just a hunch. Maybe John Lear would say it got shot by a space platform, and that's why they can't cap the well.
Well, anything's possible. There is a video on YouTube that shows it was taken by some fishermen who were just out there that night, out in the Gulf. And the thing exploded, and they grabbed their video cam and started shooting video of it, and it shows two blue beams of light, coherent beams. They don't spread out as they go up or as they come down. They're straight. They're coherent. Two blue beams of light coming right down on that rig. Jerry, you've seen that, haven't you?
No, I haven't. It sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it exists. Now, what are those blue beams of light? I don't know. I have no idea. That, you know, it could be that those are signals that automatically go off if there's an explosion on the rig to light the sky where everyone can see and where all the other ships can see and come to the rescue. That's a possibility. But it could be something coming from space down on the rig. I don't know what it is, but you can clearly see the blue beams of light.
Hey, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Before I go, I'd like to say I just have the best time watching your show, especially when Jerry's on. And hopefully you guys can do this more often. And thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, that's quite a compliment. Thank you.
623-444-5889 is the toll-free number. And you can call that from anywhere on planet Earth and probably from Nibiru. But for sure, anywhere on planet Earth. And we also have a toll-free number that you can call, 888-223-4599. If you need to call me on toll-free, use that. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin from Beaverton.
Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
I hope this is relevant. I wanted to say that I feel people have been programmed to feel less capable than they are, and those who aren't programmed that way are looked down upon. And it's like in movies where it's common for the hero to be the free thinker and is deemed the outcast, but in the end, it saves everyone. But in real life, after such a movie, we don't think that way. We go back to where the beginning of the movie started, where everyone continues to think that person as an outcast.
Mm-hmm.
And how that's why we don't seem to progress.
Well, you're right. Tesla was definitely an outcast and still is an outcast. as far as the scientific community is concerned. And even though he's an outcast, we all flip a switch and turn the lights on in our house, and that's Tesla. We all use microwaves, microwave ovens, and the beginnings of that were Tesla. You know, and we could go on and on and on. We use Tesla technology every day of our lives, and yet he was an outcast. He was considered weird, strange. They even made cartoon movies with caricatures of him as a mad scientist. But he was right. He was right. Edison was wrong. But we praise Edison as being this great inventor. He was wrong on electricity. He was just wrong. And Tesla was right. And Kevin, thanks for the call. Furthermore, Edison was a cheat. He cheated Tesla out of money he said he would pay him. So, you know, Kevin's right. It's the free thinkers that will get us through this stuff. I think so. What do you think, Jerry?
Well, I think it's why light bulbs blow, because he was such a cheat.
Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Tom from Missouri.
Hello, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Yeah, I got a little information. The size of the pipe coming out of the ground down there,
mm-hmm,
leaking is 21 inches.
Ooh, that's big.
Yeah, it's a pretty good sized pipe.
Mm-hmm.
Why it's still leaking, when they dropped that cap down there, it had four valves on it, leak valves.
Mm-hmm.
One of them shut off already, and there's still three of them valves open. And the reason why they haven't shut them all off is because the oil is surging, and if they shut them off, they'd lose the whole...
Yeah, it'll blow the cap off.
Yeah, it'd blow the whole well off,
mm-hmm,
even with the bed. It was almost a month before that well blew up. It was having trouble with it. And when they put the concrete around it, it was leaking natural gas out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all, I read all this at the hearing they had down at Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Well, one of the things that they are supposed to do is it has to do with leaving the mud in, the heavy mud, leaving it in there while the concrete casing cures. And if they bring the mud up early before that concrete casing has cured, then it leaks. It can leak and often does leak the natural gas. And apparently that's what they did.
Well, I think they had trouble with it before, because they had, like a month before, they had trouble with that well, because mm-hmm, the casing was leaking on the well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pipe,
yeah,
down underneath the bed, rock bed,
mm-hmm,
was leaking natural gas. So it wasn't no surprise for them that it went up.
Yeah. All right, Tom.
What's surprising is the pressure that it's got on it, because... you've got almost 2,000 pounds of water pressure down there. What's leaking out of it? It's still coming out of that pretty good pressure.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is. All right, Tom, thank you so much for the call. Good to hear from you. 623-444-5889 is the main number. We have a flash message here from Jeff in Australia. And let's see... what with the oil disaster in the Gulf of Mexico wiping out the fisheries there, latest report of the leak is 100,000 barrels a day. I read the other day that there were 3 plumes of oil there. Now there is a crop of there's a crop blight problem in the U.S. Chemtrails, part 2 of the spraying. Okay, I'm not sure I understand that about the chemtrails. But I don't understand how they're connected, other than I guess he's saying we have the two things going on at the same time. So yeah, 100,000 barrels a day, that's a bunch. All right, back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
Did you guys already talk today about the high-resolution video? I missed part of the show. I'm sorry if you already covered this.
I am not sure what high-resolution video you're referring to.
Oh, okay. For days now, BP has only been releasing the video of the leak that is cropped off, and by an act of Congress, they forced them to release the full image of the plume. And so when you zoom back, it looks like a rocket engine coming out of there, and it's not quite as slow as now the BP yesterday said that they think that it's going to turn into a trickle here pretty soon, and I just wondered if you had noticed that high resolution video, because they're not showing us the real video.
The only video that I could find, Ryan, from within the last 3 days was from Russia Today. And I showed that at the beginning, and it shows it really shooting up out of there. It shows it really coming out of there. I don't know if that's the one you're...
High resolution video.
I don't know.
It must be the high resolution video that you looked at, yeah. But anyways, the thing that's really shocking about this is the way that BP has not really talked about the lives that were lost.
Yeah, they haven't. But Ryan, we have to step away for break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Back to the telephone with Ryan from Washington. Okay, Ryan, you had another thought. We had to cut you off right there at the break.
Well, the only thing I was going to say is that I hear a lot of grief in people's voice, and I think a lot of people are sort of concerned, and which is natural. But I think it's important for each one of us to just live our lives with integrity as much as we can, because BP and the people that are responsible are the ones that are the liars and crooks. And I think each one of us, as long as we just continue to live honestly and do our own part, then I think we'll make it through this. But I don't think we all have to blame ourselves, because we're not the ones that caused this. So.
Well, that is true. All right, Ryan, thanks for the call. Jerry, you still with us?
I'm here.
All right. Let's, we're going to take this call, and then we're going to take a flash message. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Sky from Alabama.
Hello, Sky.
Hey,
Sky, do me a favor. Turn your radio down, because you're hearing me in delay back there.
Have it off.
Okay.
Better?
That's better.
Okay. I have a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw on YouTube, they're the hair booms. They're talking about the hair booms.
No. Did you see it, Jerry? Jerry, did you see it?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Just briefly, yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Sky.
I don't understand why they're refusing to use the hair booms if they're like, people are offering to help with the hair booms. I mean, I know it's one boom only soaks up maybe a quart of, maybe a quart of oil. But if you put millions of them out there and, maybe they would absorb enough, I don't understand why they're not doing anything. And one more question, what can just the average person do?
Okay, Jerry.
Okay, well, first of all, they're not letting the average person go out there and try to do anything about this unless they're under the authority of BP or the Coast Guard, because BP owns that oil. They don't want you to have it. And what can one person do? tell another person and say, I think we need to do something. Meet you down there at noon and do one thing to make a difference. It only takes one person to do one thing to change everything. And people look at this as though it's such a huge and overwhelming obstacle. Don't look at the huge, overwhelming obstacle. Look at one thing that you can do to make a difference and do it.
Okay. If you get a chance, check out on YouTube. It's called Hair Boom versus Conventional Boom Demo.
Okay.
And from what I understand, there's salons all over the U.S. who's offered to send all their hair clippings for the hair booms. It's interesting. You should watch it.
Okay, will do. Sky, thanks for the call. All right, the telephone line is open. Let's take a flash message now from Ross in the United Kingdom. Being from Scotland, I don't know much about the U.S. political, how it works, but isn't there a way to remove the current U.S. government if they repeatedly fail to protect the U.S. citizens and interests? And as in recent Obamacare episode, ignore the will of the people. I know that an election technically counts as this, but some emergency measure that the people can act, and this is pretty long, but let me explain. No. There's not one thing we can do until the next election. In England, you have a parliamentary system, and this parliamentary system allows the introduction at any time, it doesn't matter, any time, there can be introduced vote of no confidence. And they can oust the government with a vote of no confidence and form a new government. We cannot. We're stuck. And this is why I say that the American people have to be mushrooms. The majority, because they keep electing the same jackasses that created the last crisis and the one before and the one before and the one before, and they keep putting them back in. And everybody, you know, the popularity of Congress is at its all-time lowest in the history of the United States, but 95% of the people in Congress will be reelected. All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. Jerry, it's Mike from Kentucky. How are you guys doing tonight?
Hello, Mike. Good, Mike.
Hey, you know, one of the things that I'm really concerned about is at some point this oil may shut itself off. But when it does, it could be that it's temporarily out of oil. And when that does, it seems like we may be looking at some type of a collapse of the continental shelf or of the mainland America itself.
Could be.
And, you know, it's one thing to mess with the people of this planet and kill them off, but it's another thing to destroy this planet. And at some point, there may be some type of interference from somewhere else if they keep doing this thing. That's my opinion. What do you think?
Well, my opinion is that the people who are out there from other worlds are not going to swoop in to save us from ourselves. They're here to support us, I think, in the decision that we might make to make things better. But if we end up making things worse, they can't take responsibility for cleaning up our mess. It's part of the growth process for the society, this planet, to come to terms with what it's doing and what it's done and to make the right decision and to do the right thing. So far, I think that the society on this world has fallen far short of doing the right thing or making the right decisions. It's obvious that everything is based upon greed and personal service, you know, in other words, service to yourself and not service to others, service to the planet, service to the greater good of this world. I don't think that they're going to be coming in anytime soon to go, here, let me save you good guys, I'm going to leave you bad guys behind. If people think that they're good guys, that's fine. But the thing that really occurs to me is that if no one is doing anything to change the planet, in other words, besides talking, doing something physically to make a difference, to make something good happen, then, you know, being a bystander is not going to work, and then you're not really contributing to the welfare of the planet or the people. You're just giving it lip service and watching it go by. You can't be part of the crowd. You have to be part of the parade, and that's what I think, you know, they're looking at.
Right, and I think that some of these people that are behind all this, and it's, you know, it's like in any major war, you know, that started by, you know, those in the, who are power hungry. Eventually, the people either get killed off, or they get tired of getting killed off, and they rise up and get rid of the ones that have done this deed. And at some point, I think it's going to get to the point where Mother Earth herself is going to be the one that rises up and gets rid of all the ones that are doing this.
Well, that's a very valid point. The thing is that I've seen this happen on this planet for several times. This isn't the first time a big disaster like this has taken place, and it always happens at about the same time, right about the same time as we're looking at the zero-point crossing across the ecliptic of the galaxy, otherwise known as 2012. There are always a buildup of experiences, and it's a test of human spirit to see whether you're part of the plan of action to make things better or part of the plan of action to allow it to go worse.
All right, Mike, thanks for the call. Very interesting. 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. Or if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, the toll free number doesn't work for you. The other one does. But you, if you're outside of the USA and Canada, can send me a flash message. And you do that by going to my website. Scroll down, you'll see where it says flash message. Click on that and send me your question or comment. You know, there are all kinds, I don't know how to put this. There are several streams of thought about what should be done here. I'm not real sure which way this ought to bounce. Should there be criminal charges brought against the BP, against BP and against the executives? Or should we say, look, this was a terrible accident and they're not responsible because it was an accident? Or should we say it was an accident, but their inability to care for a hole they punched in the floor of the Gulf, that's not an accident. They were not prepared, and being not prepared before you punch the hole is not an accident. I'm not sure which way we ought to go, so what do you think, folks? 623-444-5889. And to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, my name is Leslie, and I'm calling from Forest Grove, Oregon.
Hello, Leslie.
Hi. I'm not sure if that's on my line, but the phone's kind of breaking up, so sorry if it is. I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, well, look, first-time callers. If you call in and tell me you're a first-time caller, we play some applause for you. So there's some applause for you.
Thank you. I've kind of been new to the, I guess you could say, the community or the genre, and been listening to your show about a year now. And just an idea or a thought I had was if maybe all this community of, I'm not sure what you would call it, the UFO community,
mm-hmm.
It's so large, and I know everyone in regards to the BP oil spill, including myself, you know, sitting back thinking, what can we do? Maybe if, and I know, you know, we all kind of, in the, UFO community, as you say, you know, eat their own. If we were all to come together as one, just like they did at that, I think it was the Tea Party, maybe, you know, we could do something. As they say, united we stand. Just a thought.
And I think it's a good thought. I was concerned about that earlier, and I don't know how someone's calling in on a line that we never use, but and that's what that beeping is. Anyway, I'll tell you what. I don't know. Jerry, we've hit a nerve. They've crossed some telephone lines up here somehow. But I think it's a good thought, and I think that the UFO community would do well to stand together on this and do something. I'm not sure what. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jerry Wills. We're talking about surviving 2010. Forget about 2012 right now. Forget about all of that. We got to make it through 2010. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Stefan from Quebec City, Kevin.
Hello, Stefan.
Hi. Hello, James. Not James. Jerry.
Jerry.
Yeah. First of all, what I wanted to contribute towards the question of water and where to find that in the desert is, first of all, water always goes to the lowest part of the land, so you have to go to the lowest parts of the land. You can't look for water on top of mountains, usually. Sometimes there's springs up there, but usually in the bottom parts of the mountains we have to find. And also, in a survival situation, you also have to use up the available sources of water that are immediately around you, such as the toilets, even inside cars. Places like that, and you can also collect water with dew before dawn.
Not here.
Around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
There's no dew here.
Is that year-round?
Well, in the wintertime, there are a few days where you might have some dew, but this is truly, truly dry. Nevertheless, if you know what you're doing and you go to, the right spot, which is at the foot of a cliff or at the foot of the mountains, you can dig a hole. You need a piece of plastic, you need a cup, and you need several rocks. And you take this piece of plastic. It's got to be like plastic sheeting that's very, very flexible, like a piece of cloth. And you put rocks, you dig the hole, you lay the plastic sheeting on top of it with the cup underneath the plastic sheeting down in the hole. And you put rocks around it to hold it there, and then you put a rock right in the middle of it to make it dip down in the middle. And the moisture that's in the ground will condense on the plastic, and because it's forming a V-shape toward the cup, it'll drip into the cup.
Kevin, you're breaking up really bad, so I'm just going to ask my next question and get off the air here as quick as possible. But, Jerry, in regards to the Hopi prophecies, they say that two more prophecies are about to come. One of them is that long-haired people are going to live amongst the tribal societies of the world, and the next one being a dwelling place in the heavens that comes crashing in the earth. What do you think that dwelling place is? And I'll just take the answer off air. Thank you, Kevin.
Okay, thank you. What do you think, Jerry?
Well, Kevin, the... My end of this is I'm hearing everything very garbled. I'm not even sure if you can hear me all right, but it's like you're talking underwater. It started right after I started talking about seeing this happen to the Earth 2 or 3 times, and it hasn't cleared up since.
That is when the telephone lines began to get crossed. People were calling in and they were being shuttled over to a line that we never use. And that's what the beep was. So somebody out there interfered with the telephone lines, and so that's what has caused that. Can you hear me okay now?
Well, I can hear you well enough to talk to you.
Okay. Well, you let me assure you, your audio sounds okay. All right. What about the Hopi prophecy that a dwelling in the sky is going to come crashing to the earth? What do you think that is?
Well, there was some speculation that that was a space lab that crashed several years ago. When it crashed, it looked like a blue star falling. Some people believe that that's already taken place. I don't know if it has or not, because I don't know that this prophecy is in a linear order. I have a feeling that it's a series of events, and you watch for the events to see where you are in the string of things.
All right. What about the prophecy that the long-haired people will live among the tribes?
Well, I think that sort of took place, too. There were quite a few people back in the 70s that were going to the reservations, 70s and 80s, to start living with the Indians, the Native Americans, to start learning from them. Some people believe that that was the hippies. It could be that that's something that's still ahead of us. I'm growing my hair back out long, and I'm going to be going back up to the Hopi Reservation in a few weeks, so who knows? It could be that it's something that's just ahead of us.
Well, even when you had your hair cut shorter, it wasn't short. You still had fairly long hair. Of course, I'm comparing it to mine, and when you compare anybody's hair to mine, mine is microscopic. You know, and if I didn't have this hat on, people would see I'm just totally bald, except for around the edges. I've just got a few fringe benefits there. Well, Jerry, we are coming up close to the end of the show. Let me ask you to kind of sum up for us what you think is the most important thing people need to do to survive 2010.
The best way you can survive 2010 is to take a look inside yourself and to find within yourself some certainty that you can live with. What I mean by that is, you know, when you're living in an uncertain world, it's enough to leave you feeling a little intimidated and a little powerless. When you see things like this unfolding, like in the Gulf, you can feel powerless. The thing to do if you want to survive 2010 is to look inside your own heart, feel some certainty of your own existence, make a decision that's your decision, and do what you feel is the right thing to do, whether it's on a micro level or a macro level. Find other people who have a feeling like you, who resonate with what you think and what you say. Find some confidence-building conversations with them and start feeling as though you have a say in what happens in your life. Don't feel powerless. As soon as you start feeling powerless, then anything else that's out there can push towards you and overwhelm you. The idea here is to go into the next age, the next state of being, which is a state of being where you're still physical, I think, and not go into it full of fear and apprehension, but instead take a look at what's happening and go, you know something? I don't like this, and I'm not going to live that way. And do that with certainty. Do things from a point where you feel like you're doing it for the betterment of yourself, the betterment of your family, the betterment of you and your friends, and act as though you have some confidence with what you're doing. To survive anything requires stopping, looking, realizing, preparing, and then acting with some confidence.
Okay, well, there you have it, folks. That's how to survive 2010. A little bit different kind of show tonight, but a show that I think we had to do. I think it's a show these are topics we had to discuss, because this is just an overwhelming topic. It's an overwhelming disaster. Unless we really break this out and talk about it and talk about what each of us can do to survive 2010. Tomorrow night, you want to be sure and be here at the Kevin Smith Show. You don't want to miss it. And whatever the excuse is for why you miss the first hour every night, if you do, forget that excuse and be here. You will regret it if you don't. Believe me. Also, don't forget, and this is very, very important, I ask you to vote for Element 115. Please do that. Go to my website, click on the link, and vote for Element 115. I appreciate it. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.